But at the end of this time, I want you to see how it is for every single one of us to walk in step with God. Our April memory verse is Romans 8:28. Let's say that together because it continues to be so applicable for us. Say it with me. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. In your outline is a second scripture, Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 is in the context of relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with other people. And so it really is all about relationship. Walking in step with the Spirit is all about relationship that we're going to see. I was talking this week with a friend of mine that you'll hear a little bit more about in a moment, who's gotten to be a good friend. He's become one of those iron sharpened iron friendships that we've talked about earlier in the year. So I was talking to him just about what was going on and what God was teaching me, and we were kind of thinking about through that a little bit together, and I was sharing, some things that God has been showing me, different things, and he stopped me and he said, "Have you been sharing this with the people of the church?" I said, "Well, you know, I a little bit, bits and pieces of it, but." I've been trying to work it through and figure it out and get it to a place where it'll make sense when I present it. And he said, "Why?" You know, iron sharpened iron friendships, those kind of people say things that make you feel bad. I said, "Well, I wanted to make sense." He said, "Herb." And I quote, "The rawness of what you're going through is what is powerful for people. You need to let them see the rawness of it, how you're working through it, how you're making steps and stumbling and questioning and wondering and not knowing." And he said, "You need to let them, don't let them just see the finished product, because they need to know how they can do it too." And I said, "Oh, why do you have to be right?" But he is right. And I thought about that conversation so much this week and realized that's exactly right. In my life, when I look at people who have come through things and now they've got it all, you know, in a nice package, it's intimidating because you don't see what was going on in order for them to get there. So that's what I want to do a little bit today is give you a picture. And this is God's story. This isn't my story. This is God's story with me that he wants to replicate and duplicate in every single person's life, is that walking in step with him, experiencing his presence, his guidance, his love, his care. This is really about kind of an imperfect picture of what it looks like to walk with God. To walk with God means to be with God. And so we'll take a look at that a little bit more. So if I track back a little bit, in 2019, over and over and over again, I heard God say, "Just come be with me. Just come be with me." Now, if God said that to you, a natural response might be, "Why? Why do you want me to be with you? Are you going to scold me? Are you going to be mean to me? Do you have this some great message?" And over, I just heard, "Come be with me." And I would do it. So I would, sometimes I would do it. I would take a walk and just listen. Sometimes he would say, "Come be with me," and I would ignore him and go do something different. But over and over, he just kept coming back, "Come be with me, come be with me." And sometimes I'd sense his presence. One time I sensed he said, "Come, I want you to spend 3 hours with me this afternoon." That's a long time to spend with anybody. I mean, I don't usually even spend 3 hours with Sheila. I mean, All at one time? Go ahead, Sheila, comment on the... Yeah, go ahead. I know it's coming. And so I was expecting, usually it's not that specific. Usually it's just come be with me. And so I'm expecting this great experience of God. And so I'm going 1 hour, nothing. 2 hours, nothing. 2.5 hours, a little bit of something. I kind of sensed that he was telling me some things. At the end of the 3 hours, I go, God, what was that about? It was just about being with him. And so through over and over, that's the kind of experience that I had. Now, you might be thinking, well, how did you hear him say that? Which would be a good question. Whenever a thought comes to your mind that doesn't seem to be just a natural thought, that's usually the voice of God. Whenever it's just a different flavor to it, if it's persistence, if you hear the same kind of thought over and over again, if the thought keeps coming to your mind, call your mother, that's usually an indication that that's God's voice telling you to do something. So hearing God's voice, it's not something mystical or supernatural. It's just pausing enough to be able to hear, to recognize God's voice, recognize that he really is talking. Another question that God has for a number of years said, will you trust me? Yeah, okay, God, help me trust you more. Is there anything specific? Just will you trust me? Just continuing to ask that question over and over again. And then back in October, there was a... And I spent a whole message on this back in December, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I experienced a lifting of a sense of discouragement and depression and heaviness that was life-changing for me. And all of that was leading to be with me, just be with me, just be with me, just be with me. Will you trust me? Just be with me. All of that led to that moment in time. And then since then, so last year, as I was, I sensed that we should study the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings, and so we were doing that, and this phrase, living right side up, kept coming back. That's how God speaks. Right side up living in an upside down world. And so that, it just kept coming back. And that this whole slow thing, SLO, which means surrender, listen, obey. That was something that just kind of popped up. God, I was just fumbling with, if you look at the front of your program, I was trying to make the S fit with the other two S's. And God just used it. He just manipulated. And so looking back on it, I see that that really was God. And then at the end of February, I sensed that God told me to fast until he told me to stop. And those of you that are prayer partners, you got that request for you to pray for me during that time. So that was the last part of February, the first part of March. And so my immediate response was, God, it's not a week of prayer and fasting. You ever do that with God? You sense this thought comes to mind. I think you should start fasting. And I don't know about you, but I like to eat. I don't particularly like to not eat. But I just sensed that's what, there was no audible voice. I just sensed that that's what I was supposed to do, and it was very strong. And so I started doing it at the end of February. So I fasted, I think I started on a Wednesday, and then went into the next week, and even though I resist it when God says that sometimes because I like to eat, once I start fasting, there's this sense of God's presence that's very powerful. When I'm doing it in obedience, it's very powerful. And so by the following week, middle of the following week, I'd been fasting for a week or so, liquid fast, and I just was enjoying God's presence because I was hearing his voice, sensing his presence. There was just a sense of peace and satisfaction and contentment. And then I got to Friday, and I kind of got the indication that I was supposed to stop. But I didn't want to stop because I was enjoying God's presence. And so I didn't. And it was one of the most horrible days of my life. You see, it's about walking in tune with God. It's about walking in step with God. It's about obeying his voice and living in his presence. It's not about doing things. It's about obeying him. And so looking back on it, I sensed that he wanted me to stop on Friday because he was done. He was done. And I fasted on Saturday, and it was just an awful, awful day. And I got to the end of the day, and I kind of sensed God say, I told you. Obey when you're supposed to obey, and don't obey, and don't do something when you're not supposed to do, no matter how spiritual it may look. So those are some of the experiences of what it means to walk in step with God. Just listening for what he has to say. So I'll pick up on that in just a moment. Go to your outline, and let's talk for just a moment about the elements of walking in step with God. And if you're watching the clock, remember, we started 11 and a half minutes late, so, okay? So let's talk about, what does it mean to walk with God? So Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Romans, so number one is God, walking in step with God. God is the first element in it, and God as our loving, almighty, heavenly dad. God is our loving, almighty, heavenly dad. I want you to think of the person, a person in your life who was one of the most loving, caring people. They came alongside of you. I mean, they didn't even let you get away with stuff. I'm not talking about license. I'm talking about love. But someone who you looked up to, that you valued, that you wanted to be with, that you trusted, that you knew they had their best interests, your best interests in mind. That's the person I want you to picture. Because some of us have not had good experiences with dads or parents. So when he says dad, we're talking about that kind of person, someone who loves you and is with you. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 32 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If we're going to talk about walking in step with the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit, we need to recognize who we're walking with. And that is God as our loving, almighty, heavenly dad. We're walking with the God who is for us. And so the first bullet point says that God is love and he loves us. Walking in step with the Spirit is all about relationship. It's all about a love relationship. It's about trusting who he is and trusting what he plans to do. And so it's God who loves us, who is love, and who loves us. That's the one we're walking in step with. The devil and I think sometimes all that he's done in the influence of Christianity in our culture causes many people to feel like the God who wants to walk with us is a scolding God. He's a mean God. Is a God who is just waiting for us to do something wrong and hit us on the back of the head, who is always on our case and who just loves it when we mess up so that he can discipline us. And we need to shift that. That's upside down. We need to shift it right side up and understand that God is love. Look at that scripture in Romans again. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, if he didn't hold back the very best that they had in Jesus Christ, but in John 3:16 says, because he loved us, he gave his only son. If he didn't hold that back, why would he not also with him graciously give us all things? Why wouldn't he pour out of his stores of heaven to care for us? And so it's the God who is love and loves us. It is God, and the second one is God is with us. God's God's purpose is to be with us, alongside of us. And so when we're talking about walking in step, it's the God who is with us and the God who is for us. He is on your side. God is not against you. God is for you. As a loving heavenly dad, he wants you to soar. He wants you to experience abundant life with all of its contentment and satisfaction. He wants you to experience all that he has created you to experience. He's the God who is for us and with us. He's like the dad who lurks behind you when you don't realize it. You know, have you ever watched one of these sitcoms or one of these stories where there's a dad and there's a teenager and the teenager's out driving for the first time, and then the dad is so concerned about the child that the dad follows them, and then at some point in the show, the child realizes the dad is there and gets all mad and upset. And it's just because the dad is so concerned and wants to make sure and just wants to sneak back. Doesn't want the child to know that he was there, but wants to make sure the child is okay. That's the God who is saying we need to walk in step with him. He's the God whose heart breaks when he has to discipline us. He gets no delight in seeing us in pain. When our kids were growing up, I remember going to my bedroom sometimes after disciplining my kids and weeping because I didn't want to cause them pain, but I knew I had to make them feel the consequences if they were going to grow up the way that they should grow up. God is for us. God provides the resources. If he didn't spare his own son, why wouldn't he marshal all the resources of heaven to send them our way? He's the God who takes initiative, always reaching toward us. And you know, that's one of the parts of the story of God that touches me the deepest, is that God is when you look back, and I think I put this someplace, but it's only in retrospect that you can see how God was working, how God was taking the initiative and reaching towards us. And there's this philosophy out there that says, if you do enough, then God will respond. If you are good enough, if you pray enough, if you read your Bible enough, if you attend worship enough, then, okay, God will unclench his fist and he'll give you a few things. That we there's the phrase, I found God. And that's completely upside down. Nobody ever finds God. God finds us. It's just we turn around and he's there and we think we found him. And God goes, I wasn't even lost. You were. And I was here. And so he takes the initiative. He's always reaching towards us. And then the last bullet point here. God expects us to be real. He expects us to be real, not to pretend, not to try to be perfect, not to try to be something that we're not, not to put on our face. On my Facebook, my personal Facebook feed, I posted a question that, I don't know, there's 30, 35 people who answered it so far about what are the lessons that you're learning during this stay-at-home time? What are some lessons that we want to hold on to? One of the lessons that I recognize is we try to present ourselves as better than ourselves. And the thing that caused me to notice this is anybody on TV in, you know, live shows are doing it from home now, and they don't have their hairdressers or their makeup artists or their lighting, and now, you know, we're seeing people as we've never seen them before, and some that we never wanted to see that way, right? We're seeing, and the one of the lessons is we try to pretend that we're something more than we are. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all. And so, God, our loving, almighty, heavenly Father, and so it's all about relationship. And it feels, you might want to write this part down, walking in step with God and hearing his voice often feels cryptic because God doesn't give us all the information that we'd really like. when he tells us to do things, he doesn't give us a lot of... So last year when I kept hearing God say, come be with me, he didn't give me... That's all he gave me. Because it's about relationship. It's not about accomplishment. And so as we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit, we tend to look at what we're supposed to do rather than who we're supposed to be. And so we tend to exchange the relationship for tasks. And we try to do things for God instead of be with God. It's kind of the Mary and Martha thing. When Jesus went to Lazarus' house and his sisters were there, Martha and Mary is there sitting in front of Jesus. And Martha comes from the kitchen sweaty. You know, she doesn't have any makeup on. And she's all sweaty, and she's covered in flour, and she's looking at Mary, and she's just getting madder and madder. Finally, she confronts God about her sister. Now, we never do that, do we? She says, Jesus, make her come in the kitchen and help me. I think he had this mischievous look on his face. He just kind of giggled at her and goes, Martha, Martha, Martha. You are so concerned about so many things. But Mary has chosen the best thing. Not the only thing, but the best thing. And I'm not going to make her leave my presence so that she can go make bread. You see, it's not about the task. It's about being in his presence. And then after being in his presence, listen to what he says, tells us to do, and then do it. But getting it right side up. So it's about God as our loving, almighty, heavenly dad. Remember, here's what we're after. Well, shoot. If Herb can walk with God, so can I. I hope you're getting a taste of it. Number two, it's about walking. So it's about God, our loving, almighty, heavenly dad, and then it's about walking, moving forward alongside God. Remember Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, as a father shows compassion to his children. There we go. We're going back to point one, right? God as loving heavenly dad, almighty dad. As a father has compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. Here's an important point. He remembers that we are dust. So whoever you're with today, look at them and say, you ain't nothing but dirt. Because that's what he's saying. God, now listen to this. God knows our imperfections. God knows our inadequacies. God knows our quirks. He knows our idiosyncrasies. And when he sees us, he doesn't see us with our after the makeup artist and the hairdresser and the wardrobe manager and the lighting coordinator have done their work and so that we look perfect. He sees us as we are. And we need to recognize we are that as well. And God wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us. And so walking, moving forward. Growing up and then even into my adulthood, and sometimes I even still struggle with this, thinking that I'm supposed to be something that I'm not. I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm not supposed to make mistakes. And if Sheila were here, and she would go, well, that's a good thing because he makes plenty. Right? Because we do. So walking is not something that I accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I say, okay, Holy Spirit, come live in me. And then I immediately know how to run a 100-yard dash in record time. Walking with God, first bullet point, is a learned skill. It's learned through falling and getting up. And God knows it. And so we look at the disciples in the Gospels. And they were a bunch of knuckleheads, weren't they? I mean, every time you turn around, Jesus is going, "Where? Oh, you little faith, why are you afraid? Why are you doing these stupid things? Why are you making those mistakes?" And we hear that through the voice of shame. And I think what Jesus is really saying is, okay, you fell down, now get back up. You made a mistake, get back up. Peter tries to walk on water, sinks. He reaches down. You need more faith. At least you stepped out of the boat, but you need more faith. So here's the picture of learning to walk with God. It's, I don't know if I ever told you, but I have grandchildren now. And the littlest one, Landon, is 10 months old. He spent this week at 12-11. I think it was 12-11. I had a picture of him. And he's looking out the window, staring out the window. 10 months old, and I put the caption, "Let me out. I've been trapped in this house for 10% of my life." 10 months. He's been in there a month. Get it. These live streams are so hard because I can't hear you laughing or groaning or seeing your eyes rolling. And so it's little Landon. Now he's 10 months old and he's pulling up himself up on the couch, by the couch. And it's not going to be long before he starts to take a few steps. And you know what's going to happen the first time he takes a couple steps? He's going to fall down. That's why God made diapers. That's why they're protected. That's why they're not potty trained until after they start to walk, because it gives them extra padding. Now, there's no parent who looks at the child when they fall the first time and go, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you get it right? Come on, get up. You should be able to walk by now. You're 11 months old. Let's go." Then why do we think God tells us that? It's learn by what. So that's the picture of learning to walk in step with God. So when we're learning to walk, write this down, this is very important. So when we're learning to walk with God and we think we hear God's voice, we need to learn to ask the next question. When we hear God say, "Come be with me," to ask the question, what do you mean? God, what do you mean? Because I told you one time, he said 3 hours. I just want you to be with me for 3 hours. Okay. What do you want me to do during that 3 hours? Just be with me. Sometimes we need to ask the next question as he's teaching us a lesson. God, you haven't healed me of this pain yet. What is it you're trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? We need to treat this relationship. So walking with God in conversation and pursuing his heart is about conversation, asking the next question. God, what do you mean by this? Tell me this. Confirm this. Tell me. Just talk to me about this. Ask the next question and then watch to see what he does. Listen and watch. So it's learned through falling and getting up. It's not a straight line up and to the right. It's not just this straight progress. Learning to walk with God is like this. I do pretty good and then I fall. I do pretty good, and then I fall. I do pretty good, and then I fall. And the goal is to make the dips not go down as far. Learn from your mistakes and go forward. And it's messy. The next bullet point, it's messy. It's bumpy, and it's individual to who you are. We have four grown children now. And people, I would tell people that, and they would go, "How many of each do you have?" I say, "Four." No. I mean, how many boys and how many girls? Oh, that's what you mean. They're four individuals. They're two girls and two boys, but the two girls are nothing like each other. The two boys are nothing like each other, and the boys are nothing like the girls. So they're all different, and so are you. Some of you are more different than others. But we're all different, so it's individual. It's messy, it's bumpy, and so it's not quick and easy. It's not a pill, it's a process. So it's moving forward alongside God. It's God walking, and then number three, it's a lifetime of surrender, listening, and obeying that satisfies. It's a lifetime of listening, or surrender, listening, and obeying that satisfies. So, are we moving closer to, if God can do that with Herb, then he can do it with me. It's a lifetime of surrender, listening, obey. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And then John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." It is to your advantage that I go away. It's to your advantage that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you so that you can walk in step with him. Through surrender, Lord, here I am, whatever you want. Listening, God, what are you saying? And then obey. And that satisfies us. And it is only in retrospect that we truly see how God walks with us. And so this is where I was talking with my friend Ken Love. Because it's only in retrospect that we can see how God was actually guiding us through when we were making dumb decisions or mistakes or ignoring him or choosing other things. So the fact that I even had the conversation with Ken Love is a miracle initiation from God. So the Church of God in Western Pennsylvania has a family camp every year in July up around Emlenton. And they contacted me and asked me if during one of the evening service I would be the I would chair the service. I would kind of be the MC, you know, introduce people and just keep things rolling. And usually I turn that down because unless I'm going to be up there. But this time I just sensed I just need to do that. I just need to serve in that way. That was nudge number one. So I said yes, and then I found out Ken Love was going to be the speaker. Ken had been about 3 years ahead of me in college. So I was a freshman. He was a senior. I knew of him, but I didn't really know him. But then later, he planted a church in Chicago about the time that we started this church, and we were at some gatherings together, and we had some interactions. And over the years, I had some bits and pieces contact. Never really got to know him or anything. But I went up there, and I was talking to the song leader, and Ken walks up, and we're all talking about the service and what's going to happen. And he just looks at me and asks me this pointed question that an acquaintance just doesn't ask. And before I got there, I thought, this thought went through my mind. Yeah, you know, you ought to ask Ken to have breakfast the next morning. So I was up there for that evening, staying overnight, and then coming back the next day. And so when he asked me that, I thought, oh, maybe that was God asking if I want to have breakfast. But he's got a conference to teach in the morning. Maybe he'd be too busy for that and say, hey, you want to have breakfast? Oh, sure. Okay. So we went through the service and had breakfast the next day. We sat across the table, and we got to talking about this intimacy with God. And so if you've seen my book, From Where God Sits, and then Intimacy and Awe, I've talked a lot about how God gave me the picture of climbing up on his lap. And I told him that, and Ken looked at me and told me a very similar kind of story, and it was like our hearts were knit. Without me even knowing it, before I'd even preached about it or thought about it, God had given me an iron sharpens iron relationship. And I didn't even realize it until the last month or so, that's what he had done. Looking in retrospect, God is working. So then out of that conversation has come a relationship with him and a couple other people where we connect. So God was looking in retrospect. Now, I want you to understand, I didn't do anything right except say yes. You want me to chair the service? Well, okay. And without enthusiasm, but that's what God wanted me to do. Invite Ken to breakfast. I almost dismissed that. But God, it was almost like God forced the issue because God, as your loving Heavenly Father, has such good things for us. And so that relationship was built. Now, let's go back to the fast in February. So God said, I want you to fast. The word of that came to me when I was sick. I think it was the third week of February. In the middle of the week, I got this weird sickness, a stomach thing. I had a fever, and it's just really odd. And I was in bed for almost 48 hours, slept like 30 hours straight, and then it just kind of lifted. But it was in the middle of that God said, "I want you to fast until I tell you to stop." And so I did. And so as I'm getting ready to fast, and Sheila goes, because she's not perfect either, more perfect than I am probably, but I'm looking for the feed. Yes, Sheila? Yeah? said, you sure you're going to fast right after you've been sick? Said, I'm just, you know, that's what God wants me to do. That's what I want to do. So I started doing it, and this is an unusual message that I heard from God. Herb, this fast is not about you. It's about something bigger and broader. I need you to fast and pray for something else. I said, what? He goes, I'm not telling. He didn't tell me. You see how it can be very cryptic. When you're following God, you just obey what God wants you to do. And so that's the sense the whole time. Because sometimes when he asks me to fast, when it's not a regular week of prayer and fasting, I just feel like he wants to get close to me and he wants to make me feel satisfaction being with him. This time it felt like an assignment as a soldier. That there's some, and my sense was there was something going on in the heavenly realm that he was asking me to join in. Not just me, but I'm as I listened, there are other people who had the same kind of sense. And so just joining as a soldier. So praying and just asking God to do whatever he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. And let me come back to that. Let me take another rabbit trail. This is the raw part that Ken Love was talking about. Am I still on camera? Or do I need to sit back down? Okay. So a soldier, if you were serving as somebody in the infantry, you get orders to do what you're supposed to do. And you don't know what the battle plan is. You don't know what the big picture is. You don't know what the strategy is of the generals. You just get the orders that you're supposed to take this town. You're supposed to surround this area. And you just have to obey those orders because the general has a big part of the strategy. He knows the big picture. And that's the way it is with God. The problem is, so oftentimes as soldiers for God, we don't know why he's telling us to do something, so we ignore it, or we don't do it, or we aren't enthusiastic. And what happens is, if you, as a soldier, don't fulfill your responsibility, you expose the soldiers next to you. And the enemy can flank you and take you out. And that's what I sensed that God was doing, is I was just one of many soldiers that he was asking to do this. So I prayed, and then, as I told you before, I was supposed to stop on Friday, and I stopped on Saturday because God was done. And now, in retrospect, that was about the time when the COVID virus really got started. Isn't it interesting? I think there are many manifestations. I think there are many reasons why God may have done that. Quite frankly, I don't know if I had the virus because I'd been in Seattle 3 weeks before where the first people came through the same airport that I landed in and came back through to depart. I don't know if I even, maybe I had, I don't know. Maybe God wanted me to fast partly for myself in that when you fast, you get rid of toxins and junk that's in your body and your immunity increases. Maybe part of it was because he wanted me to be healthy so that I could be here for the people that need help and encouragement and strength and teaching during this time. I don't know. All I know is I have to obey. I have to work it through. I have to go where God wants us to go. So that's some of the rawness of that is that it was about something bigger that we may not even know about. Well, I may not ever know about until we get to heaven and God is able to reveal some of that stuff. So as we walk in step with God, it's fits and starts. It's listening and thinking you're hearing. I didn't put this in your notes, but I write this down. I think this is important. We hear often when we're one-on-one with God, we hear his voice, we sense his nudge. We hear his voice, we sense his nudge when we're one-on-one with God, when we're listening to God. But we process it with other people. We hear what God has to say, but then he works it out with other people. And so when I look back at that October experience, that I just sense God lifted that. It was Don was there, and he was involved, and he played a key role in a bit of encouragement and prayer. Just this last week. So I'm just overwhelmed that God reaches towards us. This last week, Katie Weber, she's on here, texted me. She said, she's one of my pastor prayer partners. I was praying for you, and I'm sensing here's some things that God wants you to know about resting. And thanks. And then she wouldn't get off my case. She said, I just feel really strongly. And so she pointed out, and that God had been saying some of the same kinds of things to me about making, with all of this technology, with all the stuff that's happening now, it's harder to detach from responsibility in order to let God rest your heart, mind, soul, body. And so and then Tuesday night, the leadership team is having a Zoom call every week on Tuesday night. And we didn't do a lot, but the laughter and the encouragement and the fun just lifted my spirit. And I look back and I go, that was you, God, wasn't it? And then Wednesday, I was on the call with Ken Love, and I was talking to him, and he gave me that word of pounding. And that's why you're hearing a sermon that, to me, feels very disjointed. And then Thursday, I was on another Zoom call with Ken and another pastor friend. There's a group of us in addition to my relationship with Ken. And as we're talking on that call, so the purpose of the group is, what are you hearing from God? And then asking one another questions. Well, how are you processing that? What's the next question you need to ask? What do you think? And so I'm sharing some things that God is doing. And Ken looks at me and he says, I just feel strongly right now from the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to tell you this. And then he said, I feel so strong that I'm getting emotional. And I've noticed oftentimes when the Holy Spirit is getting strong, there's tears. Mick Seaman, I mean, every time you hear him talk, he's just... Right, because that's the emotion, and I was amazed. And here's what he said. He said, "I sense that God wants you to be more. And he says, I don't really even know what this means or how to define it, but I sense that God has used you in the past, and he's done some things with you in the past, but you need to allow him to do more. You are preventing him. You're kind of getting in his way of doing more." And I said, well, that really confirms, because if you were in prayer gathering back in March, I think it was, February, March, I shared with them how I sensed that God wanted me to be real and let loose and get out of his way. And let God shine through, not hold back on stuff. And then just in the last couple of days, I said, God has made it very clear. He said to me, Herb, you're holding back and you are preventing me from working through you. And Ken started laughing hysterically, because that's exactly what he was trying to say. Now, I don't know what all that means. It did have impact immediately to some of the live stream stuff that I'm doing. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, he tells us oftentimes one-on-one, but then he confirms it. He processes it as we go forward together. So, are you feeling, well, shoot, if Herb and experience that with God, I could experience it too. I struggled so much with this message because I so want to present things that are together. And this is such an experience of being in process. So here's the deal. God wants to speak to you as much as he speaks to me. He wants to nudge you just as much as he nudges me. He wants you to experience deep satisfaction. But it's difficult because it feels like he's turning us 180 degrees when he does. When he tells us to do, when he says, go spend 3 hours with me, we want to know all the answers, all the reasons why. When he says, go fast until I tell you to stop, I want to know when I'm going to stop so I can make sure I have popcorn ready. I want to know the reason behind those things. I don't want it to be, this is not about you, I'm doing something in the heavenlies. That doesn't help me. But what it does do is it forces me to him. Because it's about relationship, it's not about accomplishing things. So, as we wrap this up, here's some takeaways. So get your pens out because I have a couple of extra to add. And we'll come back to this. Next week we're going to go deeper into what it means to be walking in step with God. But I want you to write this down. Just keep stumbling forward. Keep stumbling forward. Because it doesn't get, there's never a time when there aren't stumbles. As you look through the New Testament, you know, the Old Testament we can kind of dismiss because they didn't have the Holy Spirit filling them yet. New Testament, we go in the New Testament, and even as you go for all the way to the book of Revelation, they still stumble. They still stumble. Get back up. Just keep stumbling forward because you have a loving Heavenly Father who is almighty, who is on your side, who will help you get up and take the next step. He's working, and only in retrospect will you be able to look back and see all the things that he's doing, all the ways that he's working, and you won't even see all of them. You'll see part of him, what he's doing, because he's always reaching for you. He never gives up on you. Just keep stumbling. The only reason that God has worked in my life in this way is because I just said yes. That's it. It's not because of a great amount of talent or ability or spirituality. It's just because you just keep saying yes. You just keep stumbling forward. Just keep saying yes. And if you say no along the way and God knocks you over and you get back up and say yes and keep moving, just keep moving, just keep doing it because God wants you to experience this. And then here's what I'd like to ask you to do, because as we're looking forward to a future time when people can gather again, I want us to hit the ground running. I want us to be more. Because we've gone through this, I want us to be ready to do what God wants us to do. So here's the prayer that I want you to pray every day. Lord, how do you want us to be different and do life and ministry differently when we can gather again? And then listen for his voice. Listen to what he says. Write it down so you don't lose it. And then put it into action, whatever he says to do. So I hope this has been helpful for you. And I hope you walk away as you get in your car or you go about your business or you go make lunch or whatever you're doing and rattle around in your mind is, well, shoot, Herb is not all that after all. If the Holy Spirit can work with him, I'm in good shape. Lord, we are so grateful that you are God, our almighty loving God who is with us and for us and on our side and working. God, I pray that you would take what we've talked about today, your story of reaching into my life and other people's lives, and that you would move us forward, that there will be people who watch this and hear this who will experience you more than ever. They will be able to hear your voice because they believe that you want them to. They'll be able to see you working and feel your nudge. because they know that that's what you want. And in all of it, God, they will experience a level of satisfaction, contentment, and even pleasure by walking in step with you that they never experienced before. Lord, I pray as we go through this time that you would make us more, that you would prepare us to be more your salt, your light, your aroma in the world, and also more connected and loving as a church family. And God, I pray for those who haven't leaned into you in relationship, that you would do whatever it takes to draw them to yourself. And for all of us, pour out all the resources of heaven that we can live in step with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.